My name is Jerry Damon. I live in Howell, Michigan, or north of Howell. I've been with the Michigan Bar and Preservation Network for about 7 years now and chairman of the awards committee for 5 years. So this is the fifth year we've done the Barn of the Year Award.
The Michigan Barn Preservation Network really works to preserve the rural landscape of Michigan. Can you share a little bit more about the network and some of your activities?
Sure. We're about a 20-year-old organization, started really on the campus of Michigan State University with a bunch of folks that had some passion around the barns. Most of them were Extension Network folks. So they started it 19 years ago, and the idea was, well, I guess they saw barns disappearing as we all see barns disappearing, and decided there must be a way to save those barns, or at least some of those barns. So the first efforts were really in the area of trying to do a survey across the state, township by township. 19 years ago that started, and it's still in progress today. We do a conference in the spring, which has a tour with it, a tour in the fall, workshops all through the summer, and the workshops are really, we give out mini grants, we call them. They're only about $250, but the idea is we give it to the grantee, and they give it back to us, or in some way, shape, or form close to that. To do workshops, basically it's like sill replacement or how to do a barn door or window work or what do I do about this sagging beam and those kind of things. Average about 6 or 8 of those a year.
The annual conference this year is taking a little bit different approach. Jerry, how has that changed and what's planned for 2016?
For the last 15 years, I believe it is, we've been part of Ag Week at Michigan State University. So the conference has been held at Kellogg Center. And we kind of recognized that we weren't getting people from around the state. The mission of all of the efforts, not only the Barn of the Year Award, the workshops and stuff, has been trying to get out around the state and into the UP. So the idea was, let's move the conference to different locations around the state. So this year, Coopersville, Michigan, the Farm Museum in Coopersville will host us May 6th and 7th, the tour on the 6th, the conference on the 7th. And we'll look a little more regionally than we have in the past. We have 6 barns on the tour. They're all within about 15 minutes of Coopersville. And the subjects of the conference will be a little more regional than in the past.
One of the main highlights of the annual conference is highlighting the Barn of the Year program. Jerry, what kind of barns are eligible and recognized?
Well, anything built prior to 57 is what we're looking for. About the 57 time frame is when we started to see pole barns and that kind of thing. So what we're looking for really are the older barns. It doesn't have to necessarily just be a timber frame barn, but anything built before 57. And we break it down into 4 categories: continued family, private agricultural use, family private adaptive use, nonprofit ag or adaptive use, and commercial ag or adaptive use. So that gives us the ability to really recognize 4 barns. In the beginning, we only recognized 1 barn every year and realized there are more than those out there that need to be done. So what we're looking for is people that have done a really nice job of taking care of their barn. In some cases, that's a lot of rehab work done on it or restoration work done on it. In some cases, it's just over the years they've done the same thing, taking care of their barn. The family and adaptive use, those are typically barns that have been converted to something else. So they once were a barn and now they're a business, or they once were a barn and they're now a house, or they once were a barn and now they're kind of a wedding barn. Those kind of things. And the commercial, the difference between continued family, private, really are pretty obvious, I think. Private, nonprofit would be something that was owned by a nonprofit and is now ag or adaptive. And the commercial is where it is being used as a business. So the breakdown is pretty straightforward, I think.
As far as some of those categories, do you see new uses or new adaptive uses that might be different now, maybe the last 5 years, than when this first started?
Yeah, the wedding barn is the one that's the popular one right now. It amazes us every year. We see more and more and more of those, and that really is out about 5 years ago when that started. There have been a lot of issues around the wedding barns, and that is they have to meet a number of local codes and restrictions, and a lot of people have tried to get around that, and it doesn't work. And so we as an organization spent a lot of time dealing with this, both with the legislature and with communities, but there are a lot of them. We have one on the tour this year, just a little bit north of Coopersville. There's a really pretty barn that was turned into a wedding barn. That's probably the one that's changed the most. Adaptive uses for a long time were businesses. Then there was a rash of houses. I actually live. I converted a 150-year-old barn into a home about 10 years ago, and we live in that. So I have some interest in it, and I watch for them real closely, and there are quite a few of them around, and nationally there's a lot of them.
If a family is interested or a community nominating one of their barns, what's the process of going through that, and what do they need for submitting?
On the website, mibarn.net, go to on the front page, the second panel down says resources, go to that. And there you'll find an application. It pretty well on one page defines the process. We really ask for four things. One of them, fill out a simple application, which is on the next page of that. It's just a one page, and it's really just addresses and stuff like that. The next one is we ask for photographs. We limit it to 25 photographs, and we ask that the photographs be exterior, all four facades, and then interior as much as you can do. Hold it to 24, and we don't return those. The next piece is a story, and that doesn't have to be much more than an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper story, but many times we get multiple pages, but kind of a story of the barn. Everybody has passion around these, and sometimes it's family passion, sometimes it's historical, and there's lots of reasons for it. But tell the story. Tell the story about the barn itself, the family about the barn, and then the work that's been done on it. And then the last one is Michigan Barn Preservation Network has been involved with this Michigan Barn Survey. And it's a two-page document, but again, it's very simple. It just says what's on the farmstead, what kind of buildings are on there, a little map you draw that shows them. Put all four of those in an envelope and send them to the address that's there on the website. And our method of going through that is we put them all on a thumb drive, each one of the applications, and then along with that, there is a spreadsheet that we use as a committee to try and make the choices, and we really do that numerically. We look at, there's 10 columns on there, each one of the pieces, the four pieces we look at, and we come up with a numerical number, and we typically get down to the end of that process and wind up having to give out one or two additional awards because we can't make a decision. The idea of this is it's not a win-lose kind of thing. It's an award for the work that's been done, so we don't ever call them winners or losers. We call them awardees, and that gives us an ability to recognize people that are doing what the mission of the Michigan Barn Preservation Network, which is promote, appreciate, preserve, and rehabilitation of Michigan barns and farmsteads.
Jerry, as agriculture's landscape continues to change, why is it important to preserve some of these historical barns?
Well, I think there's passion out there for it. In many cases, the issue is dollars and cents, and I will admit that it's not inexpensive to preserve an old barn, but it gives those of us that remember them when we were young the chance for our youth to see what farming was really all about. And in most cases, they're pretty... very pretty. I give you an example. We were up in Little Rock County for our tour last fall, and this is on the lake shore up there, which is a national park. When you drove around these old farmsteads that are on it, there was nothing. There were no signs. There were just as it was 100 years ago, and it is just spectacular to see these structures sitting out in the middle of a field, and there's a pond or a lake in front of it, and at this time, there were colored trees behind it, and it's just spectacular to see what it really was like 100 years ago, and that's what we're hoping we do in other places around. The barns get so many interesting uses. Lots of people that have restored them, it would have been a farmstead. The farmstead got sold off and is now a subdivision, but the barn didn't go, and people have put time and money and effort into saving that old barn, and they found just all kinds of interesting uses for it. So I think it makes sense to those of us that love barns and hopefully people in the future that have an appreciation for them.
And any other comments?
The conference is May 6th and 7th, again in Coopersville, Michigan.